The Manitoba Association of Christian Homeschools would like to thank the Learning House for sponsoring this recording.
Welcome here. I'm so glad you guys are here. I'm happy to be here. I'm very enthusiastic about co-ops. I am an extrovert, raising extroverts. Somehow I got five of them. So co-ops have just been integral in my homeschool experience. I'm always in more than one. Currently I'm in three co-ops. So hopefully today I can answer any questions you guys might have and educate you guys and make you more comfortable with making choices for your own family. So first I'm going to talk a little bit about co-ops, the different types, etc. And then we are going to leave a time at the end for a discussion in case maybe starting a co-op is something that you would be interested in. We could really brainstorm some ideas. And then two, at the end, we'll leave time for questions. So if you have any questions, just write it down and we will definitely get to that near the end. So I just want to start real quick with a little prayer. So if you guys could just bow your heads, we will pray. Dear God, thank you so much for this opportunity to be together and to learn together and grow together. Thank you for this conference and all the like-minded people gathered here committed to educating and doing what's best for their children. Lord God, guide my words and the information I'm sharing and guide everyone here and their choices for their homeschool, and may they be blessed. We invite you here, Lord God. Amen. Thanks, guys. Okay, so I just want to start with what is a co-op. So I'm sure most of you guys know it's cooperative learning. It's when families get together and work towards the same goals. And I only mention that because there's a little bit of a difference, and maybe it gets lumped in with different things like classes or learning pods. Learning pods kind of came up through the pandemic. So they are a little bit different. So classes, I always think of, they're a little bit one and done, right? It's not for your whole family. It's not a building community. Parents aren't typically involved. You drop it off, drop your kid off. It's like one topic, one thing. A learning pod, I was actually looking this up so I get it right, but it's pretty much like a mini private school. Someone else is really teaching your kids. And it's a lot more commitment. It's like 3 to 5 days a week. Co-ops usually are more like once a week or once every 2 weeks. And you all work together, you build community together, and you are teaching your kids and giving them different experiences together. And it's so important. So let's start with why you should join or be in a co-op or start a co-op of your own. So I just have a couple of scriptures here. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 13 says, as the human body is one, though it has many parts that together form one body, so too is Christ. For by one spirit we all were immersed and mingled into one single body. A diversity is required, for the body consisted of one single part. There wouldn't be a body at all. So now we see that there are many differing parts and functions, but one body. And then Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. So I think you guys are getting the theme I'm going with here. We're better together. We're better with community. It's biblical. And that's why we need to have that in our homeschool. So what is the benefits of having a co-op or being in a co-op? And the main part for that, for me, is the collaboration. So we all have different skills and strengths and weaknesses, and it makes such a big difference to come together and fill all those holes and voids that we might have in our homeschool experience. So I remember this being a bit intimidating for me because, like, I didn't go to university. I'm a hairstylist by trade. So, you know, when it comes to these types of group things, it's like, oh, what can I bring to the table? And if you have that concern, I'll tell you one thing that has been brought out of me in every co-op I go to. I always end up running the gym class just because I don't mind talking loud. I can go into a group and get everyone's attention. Come here, we're going to go over the rules. Come on, be quiet. And that is something not everybody can do. So I'm always roped in to do gym class. I've taught it literally from the beginning of my homeschool experience. So if you're like, oh, I don't have like something to offer, I bet you do. You just maybe haven't thought of it yet. Mine is a loud voice. Also, you can fill in weaknesses. So I don't love anything gross. you know, sticky, slimy, smelly. You know, I don't think that's really unique, but some people really do love that. So we came to the phase last year. My girls are in high school and dissections is a part of, you know, what's required. And I have a friend that loves that stuff. So thank the Lord, she took them, she did dissections, and I watched the little kids. So if you have that weakness, if you have that thing that, I can't do it, you know, a co-op provides in that area so that you don't have to. And how wonderful is that? Another bonus of collaborating with other people is new ideas and new inspiration and a wide variety of options. Your kids get exposed to so many things. I don't know what I don't know, and I want my kids to be exposed to lots and lots of things. I'm still in a co-op, and it's a paid co-op, so there's classes that go on, but they would have an hour throughout the day that moms could just show what they like to do or their skills. And my kids were exposed to so many things during that co-op hour that I couldn't provide for them. They did wool carding, and they did a volleyball session, they did a STEM session, and someone had some sort of connection to a theater and brought in all these amazing costumes, and someone else was able to, I don't even know where they do this, but you can take out this huge like gym size map and ran a whole bunch of games with my kids with this huge map, and they were just exposed to so many things that I didn't even know exist, or you know, just know nothing about. So that was such a huge bonus, and my kids are just exposed to so many more things that I can't show them, and you know, maybe one of those things really spark for them and that's something they want to look into further. So that is just a big benefit in bringing in other minds, and also the new ideas and new inspiration. You know that expression, like you just need a new mind on it, a new set of eyes on it. If you've ever done an escape room, you just need different perspectives to look into things. So that could be about how you run your school or your curriculum or whatever. I also think a huge benefit of a co-op is that your kids are taught by someone else. They get an exposure to someone else, you know, getting them to, you know, go through the assignment or whatever it might be. And it's not always mom. And you'll see different traits of your kids come out when other people are teaching them. It's kind of surprising. And I think so that's good for them to be taught by other people, but also to respect their efforts. When you're in a co-op, it's different from a paid class because it's some mom that has given up her evening or weekend to plan this class. So I remember always telling my kids, like, you know, Susan worked on this all weekend. You make sure you listen and you do what it is. And even if it's just for that 1 hour, you know, really encouraging your kids to respect someone else's time that they gave to give them something wonderful. Also, it helps kids learn about a structured schedule. So I don't know how you guys do your homeschool, but with me, I don't do math from this time to this time and English from this time to this time. My kids have their work. They have to finish it at some point throughout the day. But a co-op can bless them in that way where, you know, it is gym during this time. It is art during this time. And, you know, where do you have to be and who should you be with? And I think that's good exposure for them because they're going to have that in other areas of their life. And then, of course, you get to do things that you can't do at home. So I get my kids to do oral reports sometimes, and you know what? That's really different from public speaking with a bunch of friends and peers or adults there watching. It's their siblings. So, you know, things like debate or public speaking. I really don't like my house being turned into a gym. It often is, but it's much better at co-op, and they get to do all those things outside of my home at a co-op, and, of course, it's better with others. So the other reason that I think that co-ops are so important, and I'm just going to say that word that I have learned to hate, but is socialization. And I'm just going to bring that one up. I know you're all socializing your kids. They're all social. I don't believe in any of those stereotypes. But co-ops definitely make socialization way easier. Does anyone here have more than 3 kids? Yeah. Okay. So you know if you want all of your kids to be happy, it usually takes more than one family. I know a lot of you probably have more kids than me, but if I want to satisfy my teens and my seven-year-old, like, I usually need at least two families. I'm doing multiple pickups or drop-offs or whatever, and this just makes things so much easier. It's one place, one time, everybody's satisfied, and they all get to see their friends. It's also simple and consistent. So that co-op is in your schedule every week, and that's how you grow deeper relationships. You need that consistency, and because it's simple, you will actually do it. It's scheduled in there. It's not like, oh, I gotta call this person and whatever. Just the fact that it's already set up, it's going, you know, they will get that socialization. I actually made sure to talk to some introverts before I did this because I'm like, I'm an extrovert. I'm really game for this. Like, why do introverts do this? And so one of my friends said that the automatic part is what she needed just to get out of her house because she just much prefers to stay home, but her kids aren't all introverts. So just the fact that it's automatic was really good for her. She said, makes me get out of my house. So if you're an introvert, maybe you relate to that. That is not me. Also, it's an opportunity for men that homeschool. I personally know two men that are doing the homeschooling of their children, and you know, they have a lot more complexity in making those social interactions. You know, usually you don't hang out with women one-on-one or whatever, so you get to go to a co-op, be with a group of people, your kids get to be with a group of people, and it just simplifies for them. And then lastly, on the socialization, I'm going to say it satisfies the in-laws. So it's the in-laws for me, but I'm sure you each have one person in there that like I can visually see them relax when I tell them I'm in a co-op. Now, that's not why we should do it, but like it just makes life a little easier. You know, I'm like, we're in a co-op. Oh, okay. So you're not locked up. But it does make life a little simpler, so I'll just throw that one in. And then lastly, cost. Co-ops keep the cost low. It's typically moms who are, you know, exchanging the classes and working together, or at least you're getting family rates. So it really keeps it low. Classes are expensive. My kids get one class each, and that adds up. So this is a great way for them to be exposed to lots of things, do lots of things, but keep the cost low. So what a lot of people don't know is that there's actually a few types of co-ops. So I wanted to take some time to go over all the different types of co-ops so you can find or plan or create the one that's best fits you and your family. So the number one co-op type that is the most popular and probably all over the province that none of you know about, I'm going to call them the informal co-ops. And these are the ones that happen naturally. They happen organically. It's probably people you're already hanging out with. You were doing that before you homeschooled, and then you all decided to homeschool, and then you just kept going. They're usually pretty informal. They may or may not be structured. It's probably not super big. It doesn't really grow outside the home, and none of us know about them because it is just like small, close friends that are doing them. So that's an informal one, and it definitely works. That's how I started. We decided to homeschool, and I had a couple of friends at the same time who decided, and we just decided, well, let's meet once a week. We did science and like devotional together. It was very informal. There was screaming, there was nursing, there was all the things, but we got together and there was a point to it. I remember that one eventually just turned into play and a support group pretty much for the moms, which we also needed for a season. So that might be just what you need. Another type of co-op is a field trip group. So there's a couple of these in Winnipeg where people just get together just for the field trips. The contribution to that isn't very high because you probably have to just plan a field trip. And other than that, you just go on and you cycle through and get to do that fun stuff together. But usually those don't happen as often. They're probably like once a month. So I'm kind of bringing up points about each type because it may be a positive to you or it may be a negative to you. I'm not sure. But like for instance, for that one, it's probably once a month or less than that. So you're not connecting as often. But maybe that's all you need. You just want to go do the fun stuff, get the field trip rate, you know. So maybe that's exactly what you need. So I'll just leave that up for you guys to decide. Okay, next one would be a formal co-op. So these ones are structured. There are lessons. They are consistent. They're weekly or bi-weekly. They may be out of the home, but they're typically larger. These ones are probably running out of a church or a community center or whatever. These ones are great because you get to meet new people. They can grow. They do get bigger. There's usually a variety of classes. Like what I said, you get exposed to a lot of things. The cost remains minimal because it is parent-led. There is commitment on that one. So whether you want that or not is up to you, but it is consistent, so you do need to commit. And there's usually a greater commitment from you in helping out. So I'm currently in one that I love. It's structured all day, but there is an expectation to teach in that one. And that might not be the right fit for you. Not every co-op expects you to teach, but this one does. That was no problem for me. But that's maybe something to look into when you are looking into a co-op, what is required of people who attend. Because usually, the whole idea of a co-op is to work together. So they usually want you to do something, but sometimes that can be clean up, set up, assisting. Like, you don't necessarily have to teach, but something to keep in mind. The next one is a drop-in. So these ones are typically not structured, the ones that I know of anyway, but they're usually at a place that has lots to do. So at the Youth for Christ building or, an outdoor venue or something. And this is no commitment at all, but you usually need a bigger group to keep this running, to keep it going, just because you need people there. You don't really have to contribute very much. You just kind of show up and be a part of it. So this one is, I find this one, the longevity has been hard. The ones that I know of that have existed haven't lasted necessarily, but they do definitely serve a role. The church that I go to had a drop-in. There's a lot of homeschoolers that go there, and so we kind of had our own drop-in co-op, and it was just, if you wanted to come or not, that was fine. And we actually met like our current community there, and it was great. It ran for a time. People met who they needed to meet, and now it doesn't really happen because if there's not that commitment, I guess it just ends up kind of falling apart. I heard of another one, same type of story. It was really good for a season, but I just didn't keep up the longevity. So, kind of jumping ahead, if you want to start your own, drop-in is definitely an option, but maybe you set it for a set period of time. I was doing one for, we were just meeting at a park over the summer for May and June. That was the whole commitment. We're just doing May and June. It was a lot of fun. We got to meet people, but everyone got to meet new people and do fun things, but then that was it. We just did it for that period of time and then did something else. So, if you figure out how to do that long term, that's great. I don't personally know of any, but that commitment makes a big difference. And then the last one I'm going to mention is a paid co-op. So I only know of one in the city. It's the Winnipeg Homeschool Collective. And in that one, there are paid teachers. There's a full schedule. You put your kids in what you want or don't. You don't have to teach there, but it is more expensive because it is paid professionals. But it's still cheaper than classes because there's usually a family rate or whatever. When you're contributing there, it's more like set up, clean up, lock up, open, that sort of thing. So you don't have to do some of the things, but you got to do other things. And then, of course, you do get the community there as well, just because it tends to be the same people. Okay, so how to find a co-op. It's so funny. I tried this speech on my husband, and at the end, he was like, well, how do you find one? I'm like, oh, yeah, I didn't even mention that. I'm just talking about co-ops. So let's touch on that. I know that's a big question everyone has. I would say social media is a very big help in this area. I know of a lot of people who have found it just by going on the Facebook groups and either someone, I need a co-op, and either someone private messages them or there's you know, another co-op that they're advertising. So I would say social media, also your regional reps. So we've talked about that a little bit today. Most areas have a regional rep, and if you reach out to them, they often know of a group or people who are meeting that maybe you can join up with. I personally am the Winnipeg regional rep, so I have a newsletter that she mentioned when she introed me. So I just started this year, and I have a sign-up sheet if anyone wants to sign up. You don't have to live in Winnipeg, but obviously you're going to have to travel there to get to any of these events. And in this, I list classes, I list co-ops that I know of, and other events and things. And then other than that, starting your own, that's definitely a viable option. And we'll go over that more. But those are the ways that I think of the most: word of mouth, newsletter, regional reps, social media. So if you're looking for a co-op, especially a specific one, make sure to be specific, and hopefully you can find one that way. So I do want to leave some time about how to start a co-op. If anyone, I know that there are some co-ops that are running in Winnipeg specifically that are full. And there are long wait lists. Co-ops are in high demand. So if that is something that you would consider doing, let's just start on why. So why would you start a co-op? Number one reason is you can tailor make it to what you want. I know that in everything that we do, there's probably something you're looking at where you're like, I would have just done it this way, or I would have changed this thing. And that's one lovely thing about starting a co-op, is that you can make it exactly what you want. And then also, you can tailor make it to your child. So I have been running gym class since the beginning of time, and that is my middle-born Esri, who will not ever let me stop. She says, as long as you are willing, Mom, I want gym class. And it's tailor-made to Esri, because every week I'm like, what do you want to play? So if your kid has a real interest in something that you can't provide, or you need a group for, or maybe they have a certain type of way of learning or whatever, or maybe you just want certain friends there, or whatever your reason might be, you can tailor-make it to your needs. You can also tailor-make it to your kids' needs. And that is just a huge benefit of starting your own co-op. Also to fill a need, like I said, there's lots of demand for co-ops. I don't think you'll have any problem filling it. And it's just a blessing to the community. I've had multiple conversations even just today with different people on what the homeschool community used to have and maybe doesn't have anymore. And we really feel that. Anyone remember the field trip lady? She had like a whole schedule of field trips and events, who was amazing. We really miss her. Homeschool soccer. Anyway, there's always more that the homeschool community needs. And the more that we can provide, the more that we will have. That's why I'm advertising classes in my newsletter, because we have to fill these classes if these classes are going to be available to us. So yeah, it's a real blessing. And the more options we have and the more ease that there is to homeschool, the more popular it'll be, the more people who are doing it. So I think starting a co-op can actually be really simple. I know it's really overwhelming. It typically happens organically because we need something or want something. So I do want to just take some time. They had asked me to do a little bit of a discussion time for how to start a co-op. Now, I think if you can, you know, take some time with, you know, whoever you want to start it with, or even by yourself, and really think through certain things, that you can really put it together fairly easy. So let's start. I hope you guys are all game if we do a little bit of a discussion time, a little bit of brainstorming. But what do you guys think? Like, what maybe holds you back from starting a co-op, or what do you think are those first questions that you would want to ask about starting a co-op? Location. Okay, that's a great one. I think sometimes people really freak out about this one. So if we were to brainstorm right now, that's what we're going to do. We're just going to try to answer some of these questions today. Where do you think you could do co-ops? Where are some location ideas? sorry? Church is a great one. The co-op that I'm in two co-ops that are in churches. One lets us use their church totally for free. They consider it a ministry. The other one, we have to pay rent. So in the city, it's harder to get things for free, but it does exist. It does exist. Anyone else? Churches, that's it. Sorry? Rec center, yep. Yep, or like a community center. I know someone was telling me their community center just gave them a free hour of skating once a week. So they meet together to skate, and they just called up the community center and told them the situation, and they offered that to them. So, you know, that's definitely something. Anybody else have a location idea? Okay, it is hard to think of these things, but churches, community centers, changing locations. I know of one person doing that, doing a rink, going to a pool, toboggan hill, skating. Houses can definitely be an option, but maybe you need a big one. I don't think my house is big enough to host a co-op. Or I know someone who is out of a Quonset. So you could definitely get creative. Okay, so what else maybe stops us, or what do we think about when we think of co-ops? What other questions would you ask before you start one? Yeah? Write something formal up. Like insurance, do you mean, or something like that? Okay, that's interesting you ask that, because while I was preparing for this, I actually did a phone call with HSLDA, because I'm like, someone's going to ask about insurance, because that's kind of the new problem of 2024. So she did say that I should tell you all I'm not a lawyer, so this is not legal advice. I did talk to a lawyer, but I am not one, so just be aware of that. So she said, to this date, HSLDA has no knowledge of a co-op leader or homeschooler being sued for an incident that they organized. So she said, when you start a co-op, it is something you need to consider, like how much risk are you willing to take on? But she feels the risk is quite low. Plus, if someone did want to, you know, sue, it's going to be, unfortunately, the church or the community center or, you know, whatever location you're, the people with the big pockets who have insurance, it's probably not going to be the homeschool mom. Is there a time where you might want to consider insurance? She said, if you're doing really large events with lots of strangers, or if you're doing something maybe that's dangerous, and her example was axe throwing, then maybe you consider it. But for the most part, I don't think this is, I've never gotten insurance. I don't really worry about this, but I don't think it is a huge thing. What she did say, if you're starting a co-op, or even if you're in one now, this is just good to know. She said a statement of faith is a much bigger issue in this day and age. And getting people to sign that. So right now, the Human Rights Codes allows for discrimination when used to serve a specific group of people. For example, Black Christian teens. This group is for Black Christians. That means if you are not Black, you're not Christian, you're not a teen, then we get to discriminate against you because we are serving this specific group. So she's saying that the calls that they are getting are more about people who don't maybe believe what you are teaching at your co-op. You know, I'm in a Christian co-op. We teach Christian values. We live a Christian lifestyle. If you want to restrict your co-op to that, you should do a statement of faith, because you could get in trouble for that if you don't have that and people aren't agreeing to it. So that is the more relevant topic in this day and age. Just make sure you're really clear and out there, and if they agree to it, great, and if not, this isn't the co-op for you. Sorry, find another one, and that's fine. Yeah? Sorry? Yeah, they need... Yeah, but sometimes that can be, like, for my newsletter, if you're signing up, I didn't get everyone to sign things, but like for my newsletter specifically, it's like, if you're subscribing to this, we follow the Statement of Faith by Matt, like that's described on the Matches website, and by getting this newsletter, you're agreeing to that as well. So you could just have a statement, but then in there being like, and if you participate in this co-op, you are agreeing, essentially. She did say that people signing it would be better in a court of law, but I don't know how specific, but that's what she said, that you should kind of be upfront about, that pretty much it's assumed. If you're here, you agree with this, and that's what we are following. Yeah? Yes. Yep. Yes and no. Again, in this conversation, she says that there's ways around things. So one thing that I have done in the past is to have people sign a disclaimer. You know, just like, we are not liable for such and such, or waivers. But she actually said those you can get around. And even if you're present, you can get around that in court. But they do deter people from doing that because they think it will be ironclad in court, but it's not really. So I'm like, oh, I almost don't even want to advertise that. But so it can help it, but is it for sure? No. Okay, hopefully if anyone has, okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah, so the second you get into something that is more structured and scheduled, obviously that's a lot of work. You have to pre-plan your classes and stuff. So either you're getting other people to do that aspect, or you're doing more of like a meetup. A lot of people get together just for the time together. So that might be a good situation for you in this season, and then, or you just do one class, like, you know, you just make it really simple. When we did that informal one, just friends at a house, the devotional sometimes wasn't like a big huge lesson. It was like, let's all pray together, we're gonna read the scripture, here's a coloring page, I'm gonna go talk to the moms, you know, like sometimes that's a need, and it's really valuable. So maybe just keep it easy on yourself. So yeah, if you're like sitting down thinking about what I want to do for my co-op, like, write out what's realistic, right? It needs to be tailor-made for you. And then when you advertise it, or if you advertise it, just be right up front with that. And I know there are a couple of co-ops that are more like, these are play times, right? So like the co-op, I'm in a co-op on Monday. I run a gym class, but the first hour is just open gym. So I do nothing for that. I just sit and I'm the supervisor, right? So that's really nice for that hour. I just talk, right? So, yeah, maybe something like that is a better fit. Okay, so trying to get back to discussion. I don't know if everyone's into the discussion thing, but so we talked about options for location. How about to find people? Do people have ideas on how to find people to join your co-op? Anyone have ideas? Facebook. You know what? There are some benefits to social media, and that is one of them. So Matches has a Facebook group. So you can join that one if you're looking for Christians specifically. There's also Winnipeg Christian ones, I'm sure everyone else. Sorry? Church. Yep. Oh, church is a great one. Yeah. And if it's people you know, that's even better, right? Because then you don't have to question motives or lifestyle or anything else, right? It's kind of a safe place. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. That's great. And that's a great example, like, that we should be reaching out, because sometimes people need it and want it. and they just need you to ask about it. Okay, so I'm going to say asking friends, word of mouth, Facebook, my newsletter. But if you don't have a region that has a newsletter, you can reach out to regional reps and they will tell you something or advertise for you to their email list. They can let everybody know that you're starting a co-op and to contact them. If you don't want to give your contact to everybody, they can contact the regional rep and then they can connect you. Use your regional reps. We want to connect people. We have a passion about that. So definitely if you have questions or needs or concerns, reach out to your regional rep. They want to help you out. Another thing I would touch on for starting a co-op is, and it kind of goes along with the statement of faith, and that's kind of putting forward a set of rules if you want to have rules, because it really avoids hurt feelings. It avoids different opinions on things if you kind of set something up beforehand. And that depends on, like, it could be so many things. I go to a bigger church, so one thing that we do is plan to protect. So that is, you know, to protect children and stuff from abuse. Maybe that's something you want to have in your rules, like no adult is alone with a child, you know, because you are putting your kids in other people's care sometimes. So maybe you can write out rules like that. Or everyone must attend or participate in classes. Homeschoolers, we're our own breed. And sometimes we're like, oh, I don't want to do this. So maybe if that's important to you, maybe you want to be super flexible and kids come in and out. Or maybe you want, like, okay, you're going to come, you're going to participate. Any other rules, like parents have to stay. There are some drop-off co-ops if you want that to be a rule. It's just really good if things are important to you to make sure to write them down and be clear about it. And then if it comes up, it's not personal or relational. It's like, well, look, like we have these rules. We're just following the rules. Everyone follows the same rules. So sorry. And it just really avoids fights and offenses and all those things. So that's another suggestion I would make if you were going to start a co-op. Other things you want to think of is how often you're going to meet. Who's going to make decisions? Is that going to be just you? Do you want to just be you? Or do you want a leadership team? Or do you want everyone to make the decisions? These are definitely things that you want to consider. What roles need to be filled? Are you going to be doing like a paid co-op where you're hiring teachers, or are you trying to figure out teachers and classes and events? So I did make a list. I find one thing that I've made that I've found hard with running a co-op is fresh ideas. Like, what do you do in your co-ops? So I did make a list of just co-op class ideas, because you want to keep it fresh, and it's hard year after year after year to find fresh ideas. So I just made that. If anyone wants it, I can give you a copy just to generate something for yourself. Okay, so I do want to leave some time. How am I doing for time here? 5:15. Okay, so we do have some time. Are there any other questions that anyone wants to ask about co-ops? Any other things they want me to touch on? Yeah? I do not know of any bilingual co-ops. I think that's an awesome idea, though. But as far as I know, I don't know of any in Winnipeg. If there's some out there, let me know. But no, I don't know of any. I think that's a great idea. We've definitely done some like sign language or learning some language, but it's been pretty surface. It hasn't been immersive at all. Any other questions? Yeah, I would say, okay, so she asked, how do you work a co-op around when you have younger kids, little kids? So I've been in co-ops ever since my daughter was in kindergarten. So all my kids afterwards were obviously younger than that. I would say most co-ops consider that, if not all co-ops consider the younger kid aspect. There's usually like if you're joining one, there's usually a nursery or an area that they're allowed in to play with or play at or whatever. The co-op I'm in right now is a little bit unique because when I run my gym class, the younger kids play on a stage that overlooks the gym, but there's also like a lobby they could hang out in. So a lot of times it's pretty like, you know, you're supervising them and it's like free play. But some co-ops that are more organized have a whole, like I know the Waverly Co-op here in Winnipeg has a whole preschool nursery like schedule, and they're doing as much school as everybody else. So it kind of depends. That's maybe something you want to look into. It kind of depends where you go. But typically, like, I've never heard of a co-op that doesn't at least consider younger siblings, and there's somewhere for them to go or something for them to do. It gets broken down into age. So I would say you're pretty, yeah, safe. But if you're starting one, that's definitely something you consider. So that one that I started off with, one of the moms was teaching science or doing the devotional, and all the other moms are just watching all, like, you know, the 15 kids that are toddler or babies. And that was our role. Like, it was like either you're teaching or you're supervising the little ones. So that's definitely something you have to consider. Yeah, okay, so the ones that I'm in, I attend the Winnipeg Homeschool Collective. So that gym class I teach is from K to, my oldest student is in grade 10 right now, and I thought I'd have to separate them, but it's actually been totally fine. I do consider it when I'm playing games, and I have to talk to the older kids during dodgeball. But for the most part, they all can do it together, and it's been really fine. I know that some parents will be like, because I'll even have the little toddlers join sometimes. I'll let them. We're doing races. Yeah, whatever. But sometimes the mom's like, oh, not this game, you know. So that one, I do, one of the co-ops I go to is just teens only. So the younger kids are just playing in my basement or whatever. And then the third co-op I'm at, there are it's split into two groups. So there's the high school and then there's the elementary, and they both have stuff running throughout the day, switching up, like one's doing gym, one's doing art. And then the next half hour they switch. Now you're doing gym, now you're doing art. So a lot of subjects can be, like, you don't necessarily have to do double the work. Like, I teach art as well at that co-op, and we do art history, and I send a little video to everyone the morning before, watch this little info video, and then I'm teaching them art history, so the piece we're doing is going to be interpreted by the kindergartner all the way to grade 10. Their work's going to look different. But you can definitely do one lesson plan for both of those groups. Same with gym. Like, they both like dodgeball. They both like, you know, so sometimes you want to consider classes that does work for the whole range. And then sometimes we separate. So if we want the teens to do debate, then they're doing like Lego STEM or whatever. But that is more work. You have to be willing to do that. But it's not necessary. So hopefully that answers that question. Okay. Any other questions? Just wave at me if you want. Okay, so we are a little bit early. If anyone wants to talk to me afterwards, feel free. I love to talk about co-ops, but I'll also talk about anything else. And if you guys have anything else that pops up to you throughout the day, I'm going to be around today and tomorrow. And I hope that I answered all your questions about co-ops and that you have an awesome day. Thanks, everybody.